So I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. My name's Chris, if you don't know. But before I start, I'd like to pray. I'm going to pray Psalm 19:14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen. This morning I'm going to be sharing on love one another. I've been praying, and that's what the Lord's led me to. Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." I'm going to read that again. "Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." When you think about harmony, I think of, obviously, singers when they sing, the harmony and how it fits together, and it sounds good and it's appealing. It draws you in. And so I wanted to give you guys an example of some really pretty harmony. So if you could play the video.
"You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always. For there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can with him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. Jesus, Jesus, that's what we call you. Yeshua.
So love one another. We're talking about us as disciples fitting our lives together and harmonizing. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. And we're going to take a look at some scripture that will hopefully get us as a body in a similar place where we can continue to start trying to fit together and harmonizing together. Amen? So I'm going to read from John 13:35. It says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So just as they sang and you heard and you were drawn in, our lives are supposed to draw people in by the way we act and love each other. Revelation 12:11 is kind of where there's three parts to this scripture, as you can see. It says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love their lives not even unto death." So I see three different elements there that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to start with the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to skip the testimony part. I'm going to end with that. And then we're going to talk about they love their lives even unto death. They love not their lives even unto death. Sound good? Yeah. So bear with me. We're going to talk about the blood of the Lamb. As you see this picture, it may kind of represent what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. You have the two angels with their wings. Underneath the wings was the mercy seat. This ark was in the holies of holies. Only the high priest could go in there. And he would go in there on the Day of Atonement, and he would bring in the blood, and he'd put it on the mercy seat, and he would cover sin for Israel. So then we move forward into the New Testament, and we have Jesus, who's prophesied as the Lamb of God. So we have Jesus, humbles himself, comes to earth and lives among us, the Son of God, the Most High, the only man to ever live and not sin. Jesus loves people like they've never known. This type of love has never been on the planet. Jesus brings it. Everything Jesus did was rooted in love. When he spoke, when he healed, when he provided, when he corrected, when he rebuked, when he died, it was all in love. In John 15:13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." The good news: Jesus died and paid for our sin. His blood was put on that mercy seat, and now we are cleansed if we confess, accept, and believe in him. Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And so that's the good news. For anybody who's a sinner out there, is there any sinners out there? Jesus died for you, and his blood covers over your sin. Now when God looks at you, he sees Jesus' blood, and you're white as snow. We as humans, we forget that. That's why daily we have to come to him and reconnect and realign. So we're going to skip over testimony. We're going to go straight to they love their lives, not even unto death. I think this is where everything hinges for me in my humanity, because in order to accomplish this, we can't hold on to our lives. We have to give it away. In a similar way that was modeled to us by the Lamb of God. He gave everything. He even died. It says greater love than this no one has but to lay down his life for his friends. So we have to get to a place where we're actually considering others before ourselves, in a sense. We have to do what's best for others. And that's not the love we have in us. That is only by God and his Spirit that he can do that in us. So just reiterating Revelation 12:11, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death." When it says they in there, that's talking about us, the disciples. "They love not their lives even unto death." John 13:34 says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." We are really good at loving ourselves. We need to become really good at loving others. We have to die daily. And if you like do this, you're like, "Yeah, I agree with this wholeheartedly. Tomorrow I'm going to start." And you do good for a couple days, and then you get consumed by life, and things happen, and you get off track. A week goes by, and you're like, "I need to reconnect," and you get reset. Jesus tells us we have to do it daily. It has to be a discipline that we master and grow in. Amen? Luke 9:23, he says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The enemy will always try to distract you from loving others by attempting you to focus on yourself. Always. He lays that trap, and sure enough, foot's caught in there, arm's caught in there, stuck in that trap. Our actions need to stem from love. So how do we allow our hearts to change and grow in love? Each one of us is different. We have to figure this out for ourselves. How do we position ourselves to grow in this area of love? Well, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and the only thing I could come up with was prayer. We have to ask. We have to ask. Spending time with God, this is a discipline that every believer has to develop, or their spirit will wither. I think of a flower. We have a little garden in our windowsill, and we're growing some stuff. And if I don't water them, they just like, bleh. But you put some water in there, and bing. If we don't water our spirit, that's what we look like. We can't love in that state. We take, because we need water. We're thirsty. So we have to ask. We have to pray. We have to develop that discipline. Why? Because we are born of the Spirit now, and that Spirit grows from prayer, the Word, and fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard of the term garbage in, garbage out? Now that we're a new creation in Christ, we have to feed our spirit. Simple. If we feed our spirit with Netflix stuff and secular music, and I mean, you guys know the routine. If you put all this stuff in, your spirit's not going to grow. You're going to be withered. That's why we have to take time to be a light. And we got to keep doing it, because we go a week and we're like, man, I'm so thirsty. So, my hope this morning was to really encourage you guys in praying. I want to be a praying church. This morning, the worship team had a phenomenal practice. And I was asking, like, why is that? Because every week we come and it's like, it's hard. There's distraction, there's issues and this and that. And Patty McConnell said, I've been praying this week for the worship team. She laid the groundwork for the prayer team this week. We need everyone praying, not just for the worship team, but for our community and for each other. Prayer is so important. So I wanted to encourage you guys with Matthew 6:9, because the disciples were like, how do we pray? And Jesus is like, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I wanted to share this scripture because this is one of my disciplines that I do in my prayer life. And I try to do it consistently. I'm not consistent at it, but I keep going back to it. When I pray this prayer, I try to start my day and I pray this prayer. I really try to put myself in each verse. Because I can quote the scripture and not really pray it. Does that make sense? So to really sit there and focus in our Father in heaven, and I start to think about my Father in heaven, and I let my heart and my soul just envelop that thought. And then I start thinking, holy is your name. Holy is your name. You are holy. You're pure. And I try to elaborate on what that even means. And then I go into your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And how's that going to happen? But through us. If we have that time with God and we pray that time with God and he impacts our life in a way, we bring it into our relationships and we're able to love people because he's teaching us that love. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you for your provision for today. Forgive our debts. This is where he gets me every time, because I have to reflect on my heart and say, okay, God, what am I harboring? What anger? What have I kind of taken offense on and just kind of been mulling in that? And every time he shows me something and I have to like, okay, God, I give that to you the best I can. And then you go to the next one and forgive those who've trespassed against you. And you're like, oh, man, I got to forgive people because I can't receive forgiveness if I don't forgive. It's just an ongoing thing, us as humans. Am I the only one? Okay. Whew. I was sweating. You guys were looking at me like, are you even Christian? And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's an important prayer because the enemy's looking for those ways to distract you and get you off. And just like Patty McConnell prayed for the worship team, I believe with all my heart that her prayers set the team up for success today. And it was awesome. It was a great practice. So thank you, Patty, for doing that. So, Revelation 12:11 again. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The word of our testimony. Our life is a walking epistle. All week long, I'm thinking, God, what testimony do you want me to share? I have hundreds. I have little tiny ones and I have huge ones. I don't know what to share. And I've been praying and praying and praying. And I think I know what I'm going to share. I was talking to Sean McConnell and he's like, use what's fresh. And so, if you guys will allow me a little bit of a peek into my life, it's definitely vulnerable, so bear with me. So, some of you are aware that we are getting kicked out of our rental, and we've been trying to figure out whether we're supposed to rent or buy, and it's been really stressful for the last 3 months, wondering what we're going to do. We're knocking on both doors, trying to find a rental and trying to buy something, and it was just the door was closed in both areas, so we were just like, we were tripping out. It was very stressful. And Patty McConnell encouraged me to fast and pray with my wife. And so we decided last Wednesday we were going to fast and pray. And Sean was incorporated too. And so we fasted and prayed on Wednesday. On Wednesday afternoon, I started getting clarity about my realtor that I had. And I let him go, which was really hard to let somebody go. And we let him go, which the last 2 weeks were crunch time for us to find something, because if you're going to buy something, it takes at least 30 days to close. And so, yeah, we were stressing out. I was like, crunch time, and my realtor was not to be found. And I'm like, dude, I need you now. And he wasn't getting back to me, so I let him go. And it was just counter of what I should have done, because we need a realtor to go in that direction anyways. So then we get counsel. You should interview realtors. So we started interviewing realtors. We found a realtor. The realtor started telling us we need to interview loan officers and get a second opinion. On and on it goes. So we're just like, okay, this is super stressful. And so we interview, we find a loan officer, we find a realtor, a new one. We start that process all over again, which was not fun. Then Saturday comes. No, Friday night, my buddy calls me and he says, there's a couple. They go to Four Square Church in Sparks, and they have a house that they're selling, and they want to bless a family. It's not on the market, and I don't know if it's true, but this is what I heard. And so I'm like, okay. He's like, well, Sean McConnell knows him. His name's Cliff. So I call Sean the next day. Sean knows him, of course, and Sean says, I know him, but Tony knows him pretty well. And so I'm like, okay, so I call Tony. Tony calls Cliff. It's true, they do have a house. They not only have one house, but they have two houses for sale. One is really small, and one's really big. The small one's probably what we can afford with our budget. And so they say, yeah, we'd love to show them to you. We look at them. It's very apparent that the small house is not going to be conducive to our family, because we're a family of five. It's two-bedroom. We would outgrow it pretty fast. We go to the bigger house, it would definitely fit our needs, but it's way beyond anything we can afford. So then there was this God moment between the couple and us, and we all got teary-eyed, and it was amazing, because God was in the center of it. And then, so we parted our ways, and they said, you know, we're going to pray. So we prayed. They asked us to figure out what our budget was. We met with the loan officer. We came to a budget. It was way under what this house was worth, the bigger house. So we were gearing towards the small house. I told the couple our budget because they wanted to know. They said, okay, we're going to pray. I was like, okay. So they prayed. Long story short, they decided they want us to have the bigger house. And they dropped the price considerably so we could afford it. And the reason I tell you that story is because what this couple did was not a love of this world. They went to Jesus and they prayed. They recognized that it wasn't their house. It was Jesus' house. And they were obedient to that. And that love, they don't even know us. the love of one another, to love one another. So they showed us, it's funny because I'm preaching on it this weekend, love one another. And they just showed us this huge example of loving beyond this world. So there's more. So they said, we're not concerned with the details. You can move in as soon as you need to move in. So that's incredible because we're 2 weeks out of having to get kicked out of our house. And now we have a place to go with our family. Sean and Marie Lear were going to let us live with them the time being. And so now we don't have to transition into storage. And it's just amazing for us as a family because God's goodness and all of it. Well, then, you know, a couple days ago, Natalie's boss says, hey, I'm going to hire a moving company to move you guys. And it's just like, okay. And so all this to say, we fasted and prayed, and seriously, those doors that were closed, not only did they open, but like a fire hose of blessing just bolted through those doors. And I mean, the blessings continue. I could go on and on and on. But Jesus' love changes us. That harmony, lives coming together, loving people. What a sweet, I mean, the loan officer and the realtor are blown away. They're like, this doesn't happen. It's just, they're seeing Jesus. I don't know if they have a relationship with Jesus, but if they don't see him and his love, so pray for them. What is your story and where is Jesus in it? Tell people about it. Your neighbor, your coworker. You know, we're good at telling stories sometimes, but we forget to and Jesus was all about it. Let's glorify Jesus in our stories. Amen. Revelation 12:11, once again. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. We're commanded to love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's a command by Jesus. The harmony of our lives will reveal Jesus to the world because this type of love is not of this world. I'm going to close with Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Does your life reek of death? And when I say death, does it mean, do people smell that you're sacrificing yourself and new things? And do they smell that? Do they hear that harmony? That's something we all have to evaluate for ourselves and ask, God, what's standing in my way? So with that, I'd like to close in prayer. If you guys would bow your heads with me. Jesus, we thank you for modeling to us how to truly love. I ask that you would continue to reveal not only your love, but the barriers that stand in our way from truly loving one another. God, we want our fig tree to bear much fruit for you and your kingdom. Thank you for your grace and your mercy as we attempt to follow you. Amen. So, when I heard about the moving company, that sent me over the edge. I was like, we don't deserve this blessing. I thought back to how crazy I've been the last 2 months and how stressed out. And I'm like, and that's his grace and his mercy. Thank goodness he doesn't, thank goodness for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. So now we take a time where we kind of do some family feedback. If you're a member of Hillside and you have something you want to share, maybe some way the message is hitting you, or you have an encouragement or a scripture you want to encourage somebody with, this would be the time where we kind of do that. So is there anybody that would like to feedback? Anybody?
That was rude. Is this on? Can you hear me? Okay, so I kind of want to elaborate on what you just said it there at the end. That's kind of where I was going. But yeah, the last few months when he said we were tripping is an understatement for me personally, because I was tripping so bad. And I wasn't sleeping, eating. I was having such a hard time. And it was hard because my brain was like, I know I'm going to get on the other side of this thing and be like, why didn't I know? Like total, like hashtag disciple, you know? And so anyway, sure enough, I'm on the other side and I'm just like, why did I doubt? And I just wanted to encourage you guys that like, I have a hard time with the God the Father scenario because my earthly fathers suck. And so I see my husband being an amazing father and just our love for our children. That's the love that God has for us. And we can stomp our feet and throw a tantrum and be like, oh, what are we going to do? And like freak out. But he gives us these things, not because we deserve them, but because he loves us that much. And we can look at our children and be like, no matter how much they pissed me off or whatever, like I love them and I give because I love them so much. I'm sorry, I say bad things, I know. And that's how much he loves us. And it's not about our performance or how we're acting or how we're feeling physically. It's just he loves us. He just loves us so much. And he does these things because he loves us, and that's it. That's the only reason.
And when we experience that love, there's no other way but to share it, like Hillary was talking about with the fruit. You have this abundance of blessing, and you want to share it. So, anybody else want to share anything? All right. Well, I hope you're encouraged. Go out there and love one another, or try to be that harmony that we're talking about. God gives us opportunity. We just have to get us our focus off ourselves and start looking around. Amen? Amen. So have a great week and be blessed.